Welcome to the International Mastermind Association Blog Talk Radio Show for Think and Grow Rich. We're very excited today to have you join us for another live show with some live and exciting women talking about the desire chapter of beginning of all achievement. And the beginning of all achievement really actually starts with desire. When you think about the desire that you have with any kind of idea that you may have, think about what do you do first? Where do you start? What do you want? How will you get it? When will you achieve it? Today's guests will share their live stories and some testimonials about their experience with the book Think and Grow Rich. They'll also share their favorite part of the book, starting with desire. This is Ann McNeil, the master builder, helping you to build stronger and better lives. And my life was changed on December 31st, 1979, at 9 p.m. when I picked up a copy of the book by Napoleon Hill. And as I began to read the book began to read me. And begrudgingly, I realized that my dreams had not been manifested because I did not know how to start. So our show today will interview many individuals, actually the star of Think and Grow Rich in many of our lives is Robin Donaldson. She's going to share her story. The other star, shining up and rising star, is Angelique Frost. And the leader of the group, she doesn't know it yet, Thomasina Williams, is going to share. We're going to start the show with a brief commercial, and then we're going to introduce our guests. Thank you for joining.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And we are back. We're back with our guests and all of you that's joining in. We thank you so very much for all of our callers that are chiming in today. And we're talking about the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And many of you may know the story, but for those of you who may be first-time listeners, Andrew Carnegie, the billionaire during his day, asked Napoleon Hill if he would be willing to invest 20 years of his life to research the history, the philosophy, the millionaires of the day, but to find out why do some people who are born rich end up poor? How is it that some people who are born poor end up rich? What's the psychology behind that? What is the story? And so today's guest, we're going to start with Robin Donaldson. She's going to share her brief story. And what her favorite part of the book is in chapter 1. And then we'll go to Thomasina Williams. And then we'll wrap up with Angelique Frost. So as we start, Robin Donaldson, welcome to the show. How are you this morning?
Good morning, and I am wonderful, Miss Ann, wonderful.
Well, if you would be so kind to share with our listeners a little about yourself, and then share with us your favorite part of the book and why, in terms of the chapter one that we're discussing on desire.
Gladly. Again, my name is Robin Donaldson, and I'm proud owner of Renew Construction Services, where we're a full-service janitorial. Also, I am an architect student and an avid reader. And to answer the question for me in chapter one, desire, I think I have a couple, actually. I think the first would be where you have to actually burn all bridges, so there's no chance of retreat. And I mean, it was at that point that my life changed, because I was really wishy-washy. I really didn't know what I was going to do. I think, Ms. Ann, I've told you many times, I felt like a penny with a hole in it. I knew I wanted something, but did not know how to get there. So from reading this chapter and understanding that I have to just, you know, my desire has to be a burning, an obsession. And from that, the structuring of my plan, which is the second portion of the chapter that I just really enjoy, and is those six steps. And step number one is what really stood out for me, because it states that you have to fix in your mind the exact amount of money you desire. It's not sufficient to merely say that I want plenty of money. And I had to just really, really break it down. And each year that I've done this, I've been able to increase my annual revenue by $100,000. So my first year last year, I said I wanted to make $100,000. So this year my goal is $200,000. So with the fixing in my mind exactly how much I want to make, I break it down. I mean, I break it down into increments. So if I want to achieve $200,000, I know that I need to make $17,000 a month, $4,100 a week, $833 a day, and an hour, $104 an hour. And I break it down to the minute. So for every minute in my 40-hour week, I need to make $1.73. And that just really put everything in perspective, and it also helps me, like, I can't waste my time. You owe me $5. So that's how I have to look at it, and then it becoming an obsession, or I would say my formula for success. That's how I've been able to achieve, because I make it real, and then I recite it every morning because I have it plastered on my mirror in the bathroom. So though I think those two would be the highlights of the desire chapter. And Thomasine, are you there? What are your thoughts? Ms. Ann, you say we have Thomasina, and who else do we have on the call?
Good morning, everyone. Yes, I'm here, Robin.
Okay.
I'm pleased to be with everyone. My name is Thomasina Williams. I am a legacy family consultant, and I serve as a resource for families who appreciate that their most valuable asset is actually who they are and not what they own. One of the things that really inspired me about the first chapter of the book is the six-step success formula. The book talks about how the desire that one has can be translated into money, into financial success, through these six steps. And the one that really resonated the strongest with me is step number four. Step number four says you need to have a definite plan. And the part that I really love is when it says you need to begin at once, whether you are ready or not, whether you are ready or not. And for me, that is really powerful. For those of us, including myself, who might be perfectionists, who want to have everything all lined up, everything's got to be perfect, every T crossed, every I dotted, before I can get started. Also, sometimes the tendency to want to procrastinate, well, I need to do this first, I need to do that first. No. What Napoleon Hill says is, as long as you have a plan, even if everything has not yet lined up, just get started. Get out there. Take the step whether you're ready or not. And one of the things that I talk to my clients a lot about is how a lot of our work is really about the journey and not the destination. Sometimes we can be so focused on where it is we want to go, have that plan laid out, and miss opportunities, the growth that happens in the journey. It's in the doing. And as much as it's important to read the book, I love how Anne always says that she began to read the book and the book began to read her. And what people don't realize is that also means that not only was she reading the book and continues to read the book all these many years later, she is taking action on her specific, definite plan. And any journey begins with one step, with action. And this encouragement to go ahead and step out there, whether we're ready or not, is something that resonates really strongly with me from the first chapter and the six-step formula. Once we begin to take those steps, then the universe attracts to us whatever it is that we need to get ready. That's the thing that resonates most strongly with me. And I want to just end this little segment with a quote that also inspires me, that's linked to this part of the success formula. And it's a quote from Gandhi. Gandhi is quoted as having said that, if I can believe that I can do it, I will surely acquire the capacity to do it, even if I don't have it at the beginning. And those two are really motivators, drivers for me. All I have to do is believe it. If I do my part by believing, that's step one to getting ready, and the universe will send me whatever I need. Angelique is with us. Angelique, would you like to share what was the most inspirational part for you?
Sure, absolutely. Good morning. I have a company that's called the Remarje Brand, and this book has kind of been like a compass and a roadmap at the same time. I think everyone truly has a desire. It's normally that thing that you always wanted that people told you that you could never achieve or perceive according to their understanding. So in the book, there were a number of quotes that actually registered to me. One of those was, desire backed with faith knows no such word as impossible. And this just inspires to me in all different ways. Coming from a background of not really people inheriting money or being as fortunate to go off and go to school and things like that, it kind of makes you change your environment where you stand. Because when you have a desire, it's kind of like you eat, breathe it. And the book has really expressed to me that I've had this desire all along. It only brought it to the surface or the forefront for me actually to be able to acknowledge it and take it on. So it was the desire for me, it was very good. And also in the book, it teaches that success calls for no apologies. So on your way there, it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to know what you don't know and surround yourself around people with things that you do know. So with desire for me, I've definitely become more open to listening and asking more questions. Because, you know, certain people get to a point in their life where they kind of get to their max of learning. I never wish to get to that point. So I'm consistently surrounding myself and challenging myself with new strategies or stepping outside of my comfort zone to kind of get me out there to say, once you believe anything impossible does not exist, that in itself takes the edges or the weights off a lot of things that you don't believe that can happen. You know, a lot of these successful or Napoleon Hill and Andrew Carnegie, they were living in poverty at first. which I think a lot of people take away from the situation, because I think there's something that transpires when you're born in poverty. You have a drive unlike any other. You know, all that I was thinking when I entered or when I began to read the book was that the worst thing that could happen is I could just stay where I am. That is the absolute worst that could happen. And I no longer wanted to be there. So with the book, it opens your mind. It opens a perspective where you get to a point where you're okay to disagree. You find yourself on this journey to figure out things that you never probably even imagined. And it also gives you a point to look at it under a different perspective. So that was great for me in the book. So thank you for allowing me to share. Robin, I think I'll turn it back over to you.
I really wanted to pose a question to the ladies.
Mm-hmm.
The chapter does state about, how can I ask the question? What do you think? Okay, so we talked about what we liked about the chapter. So being that this is the start of all achievements, what roadblocks have you encountered and how did you overcome those? I mean, because if you're asking, if we're asking to declare how much money we want, and it seems almost impossible because it's like we have no proof of what we're asking for. So if you can share with the listeners, you know, what roadblocks did you run into and how did you overcome those roadblocks? So whoever would like to share that to answer the question.
I'll go first. This is Angelique. A few of the roadblocks that I ran into is trying to convince other people to believe in my desire for me. It's like they wanted it to, you know, people downsize what you want because it's so big that they can't see it. And that's when you circle back around and you know God gave it to you. It's like God can't give you something that you're going to go be able to go ask another person about. You know, they can have insights and different things like that, but some people go to sleep and don't dream at night. They just go to sleep. And I'm not one of those. I've always been a visionary, and I'm very sweet. So I had to draw back from other people's negativity. And what I've learned is that people don't know what they don't know. And sometimes people do stuff and don't know why they do it. So when you're sharing or along this road with all of these desires or this ambition that you have, people just want to kill it because they aren't as open-minded as you. They don't see the vision. They don't have the drive. I remember this year, Robin and Thomasina, it was like this big thing where it was in my family. Everybody would get a used car. So I'm like, I just want a new car. Everyone was like, don't go do that. That's all that debt. That's all this. I went on the car lot, and I got my new car, and I drove off on it because there were tears that I set up. That's just a small milestone to say, I'm the one. I'm the one that's going to have a backup plan. I don't just jump out there. It's very strategic planning, and for everything I do, there's a purpose. But that was me throwing that net out there to say, you know, I'm going to jump out here. I don't care what happens. But it's like if you never jump, then you're just holding yourself back from so much that you never would have known. And Miss Robin, personally, my old life wasn't that great. So the fact of me jumping made it way more exciting for me personally. And also with the book, you know, what it teaches you is that your mind will take you places. It's like, where are you allowing your mind to take you? Because if you see yourself keep running into a wall or you keep running into all of these obstacles, it's nothing but a way. You just need to try another way. You know, you just need to try another way. Don't give up. Just look at it with your naked eye, because a lot of times we look at it with our worldly eye. When you look at it with your naked eye, you cross over and you become not so much as the agreeer, or the person that agrees with everything, but you challenge yourself to say, okay, why isn't this working? So that has honestly, truly helped me. And what we have to understand is that we are in control. So when I say, where are you allowing your mind to take you? Your mind will take you places without you getting in a car. Even with reading the book, it takes you on a journey to open yourself up. So it's like, where are you allowing your mind to take you? So thank you. That's how I changed my
Perfect. What about you, Thomasina?
I want to go back to something that Angelique said in the beginning, and one of she was sharing that one of her favorite quotes from this part of the book is where it says that desire backed by faith knows no such word as impossible. And that's what I rely on when I come into blocks or start doubting myself, is the power of faith. And I look back at my life and all the things that have happened that I never could have dreamed up on my own. But I had a desire to do something. I didn't know how it was going to happen. One of the other things I often think about is Les Brown has a saying that the how is none of your spiritual business. That if we focus on the what, then the universe will make way for the how. And it will happen in ways that we could never fathom. Another part of the beginning of the book talks about how oftentimes things will come that look like a negative. They look like a disaster. They look like some kind of misfortune. But in fact, it's the seed of an opportunity for us to go on and do something else. And my experience in life is that when I've said I wanted to do something or set out a goal for myself, I just did what it was I knew to do and just kept moving and kept moving on that journey, putting one step in front of the other through faith, because I know that God has worked it out before and I know God is going to work it out again. I just don't know how. And so I dropped back on faith backed by or combined with that desire. I just know that it's going to happen, and I don't have to know all of the answers. I don't have to know what it's going to look like. I just do my part, and everything else that I need is going to show up, and I believe that to my core.
Awesome, awesome. I was wanting to pose another question because, of course, as the chapter talks about the turning point, in fact, Napoleon Hill, he writes where he said, "Remember, too, that all who succeed and life get off to a bad start and pass through many heartbreaking struggles before they arrive." So my question is, what was the turning point in your life?
This is Ann. Robin, I have to jump in here because I am feeling like a proud, very, very, very proud mother hen right about now. I've been holding my teeth because the interviews and the conversations are going so well, but I just have to just tell each and every one of you how honored I am to be hosting the show, but listening as a guest, because this book changes lives if you are willing to do the work, but you must have a dream to have a dream come true. And Thinking and Growing Rich is for anybody and everybody. So when you talk about the starting point of achievement, we want to encourage every listener that you're listening to the Think and Grow Rich International Mastermind Association Blog Talk Radio Show with some awesome guests on today, Robin Donaldson, Thomasina Williams, and, of course, Miss Angelique, the angel Angelique Frost. So I'm going to go back to your question. I'll go back to your question, Robin, but I just had to chime in and share that because all of you are just phenomenal, phenomenal women you are. But when you think about the power of the mastermind group, that's what this is. We aren't at that chapter yet, but I just wanted to just thank all of you for being willing to share your stories. And back to you, Robin. I'm going to go back on you. I'm muting myself, okay? So thank you.
Okay. So who would like to entertain that question? What is the turning point in your life? Or what was the turning point?
I would say for me, I've had many turning points. I actually have had a blessed life. I don't have any complaints. I think what the thing that's most important for me is figuring out what it is that you want. The book says that's the first step. You have to know what you want. And growing up as a child, I always knew that I wanted to be a lawyer. Since I was like, I don't know, 7 or 8, there was no doubt in my mind I was going to be a lawyer. I was going to law school. And that's because I'm a product of the 60s. I grew up at a time when black folks weren't allowed to go certain places. Or if you did, it was going to be a big problem. And I remember watching television. In those days, we only had black and white with the little rabbit ears and 3 channels that actually went off at night. And seeing all of these legislators debating the Voting Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act, and they were seemed like to me as a child, I noticed 2 things. 1, they were all white men, and 2, they seemed like they were all lawyers, or most of them were lawyers. So I was determined I wanted to do that to make a difference. So I always had a driving goal, a burning desire as a younger person. And then I went to law school. I became a lawyer. I was very successful as a lawyer. But honestly, then I got to a point where I was restless, I think is probably the best way to describe it. And I knew that I wanted to do something different, that as successful as I had been, that wasn't the end all and be all for me. But I didn't know what I wanted to do. And so the thing that's really important for me, too, about the first part of the book is talking about knowing what it is that you want. And that requires, I think, for me, some soul searching and figuring out what that is. Once I figured out what I wanted to do next, everything else just fell into place. And it did so in ways that I could never have imagined on my own. I could never have dreamed it. You know, in the scripture, it talks about how God has in store for us things beyond what we could ever imagine. So for me, the turning point was getting clear about what it was that I wanted and then being able to use the success formula from there to bring that to life.
Awesome,
Angelique?
Awesome.
Okay, I think my turning point is I had some trauma back in October of year 2016. And it was just that I was at a point in my life where I just reached an all-time low. I was just like, I was tired of the check thing. I was tired of, I had become a trainer for Verizon Wireless for about 10 years. And then I remember one day I went to work and I was just so stressed out. And I'm like this, and they're like, what's wrong? Like, you know, and I didn't quite know what it was. But it carried over for maybe about 2 weeks or something like that. So then finally, I sat at work and I was like, I'm just not happy here. This isn't what I love doing. I just want to make sure I make my mark on earth, and this wasn't what I wanted to do. So beyond that point, coincidentally, I ran into Miss Ann, I got the book, and then from that point, I just made a promise to myself that I wouldn't give up. There wasn't a retreat for me, that I just had to make it. I didn't have any other alternative besides making it. And that was.
Perfect. That
was my turning point.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I think for me, the turning point was due to a crisis because prior to getting into construction, I was a hairstylist. And I was in an accident where I could no longer do hair. I could not stand for long periods of time and, you know, extend my arms for long periods of time. So I basically had to reinvent myself. So that was the turning point because I not only, I mean, I had to figure out what was I going to do. I was at a total loss. Like you said, Angelique, I was at an all-time low because at that time I had no idea. And so, I mean, I just had no other option but to make it happen. And then having Think and Grow Rich as a roadmap and the desire again, I just knew I wanted to make a lot of money. I didn't really know how I was going to achieve it, but, you know, following that formula, it makes you, like you say, do some soul searching, figure out exactly, I mean, your plan of life. And now I have that plan of life. So, again, I attribute all of my turning point and the success to the crisis that I had to undergo until I've gotten where I am. And I've always mentioned, you know, the rereading of the book, how it just reinforces everything that I have learned thus far, but then also taking me to new heights. So the turning point was due to the crisis. So did we have any other additional comments or anyone else wanted to take a stab at that question? I noticed we have some callers, some listeners. Also, I did want to ask you, ladies, something else that came to mind that was emphasized in the book, and that was the difference between wishing for a thing and being ready for it, you know? Are you really ready to receive that? That would be the question that I pose. Being wishing for a thing and being ready to receive a thing.
Okay.
Are you truly ready to receive what you desire? So I think that's an important point. Yes, Thomasina?
I think that's an important point, Robin. Back to one of the things that I was sharing at the beginning about not thinking that I'm ready because I haven't done everything on my checklist. I don't have everything all in order. And sometimes I think that can be just an excuse, sort of procrastination. Sometimes being overly concerned about things that in the total scheme don't really matter that much. But also I think that the universe sends to us what we need when we are ready. I might have checked off everything on my checklist. I think I'm ready to go. I think what comes to mind when I hear this and thinking about achieving success and the burning desire, I remember listening to an interview where Ayala Van Zant talks about how she basically fell out with Oprah quite a number of years ago because she thought she was ready for a show, and Oprah would not give her a show. And she was just indignant about that. And Oprah said she wasn't ready. She thought she was ready, but Oprah didn't think that she was. And as time went on, things unfold. She had now comes back around and shares that story very poignantly and says that she recognizes now in retrospect, even though she thought she was ready, she really wasn't. And so I think, again, that speaks to us having to do the work, to have the plan, to work the plan. And even when we think we're ready and we want certain things, if those things don't fall into place, don't be deterred by that. The universe was really testing her, too, to see how strong that desire was. Sometimes things don't come to us when we want them because we can't handle it. We're not ready for it, and we'll lose it. And so I think it's, again, part of the formula is also being persistent, just hanging in there through the ups and through the downs and proving ourselves to ourselves, learning what we can learn, preparing ourselves, and things will unfold as we want, all in due time. Universe's time is not always the same as our time.
Perfect.
Angelique. I would just want to say, you know, it's a very good question. I hope that this helps someone. I would just want to say that going back to the book of desire, I'm sorry, Robin, I just more so had a comment. When you desire something, to me, when reading this first chapter, sometimes in life, us as women, not saying that any of us have bad days, but it's important for you to check your check sometimes, because sometimes you're just you may be angry because you're unhappy. You may be angry or upset or handling things in a different way. I encourage everyone to detect if you're angry or if you're unhappy, what it is that's causing you to be that way, or what it is that's causing you to react or respond in the way that you are. Because a desire is something that you honestly, genuinely love. It's something that you love. It won't feel like a job to you. It'll come to you as second nature. I remember when I read the book, this Beeline that I launched, I had this vision when I was like 10 or 12 years old. So it's good to be in a good place and be centered with yourself, because everything is going to come to you. The universe will give it to you. And God's supply never runs out. It's never like that person over there is winning, so I might, you know, my time has passed, or I have so many things going on that about time I get there, it's not going to be enough. Every person is put on earth for a reason. No one was called not to do anything. So when it's a burning desire, you have to make sure you're positioned and ready, because the things will come. Once they come, mm-hmm. they'll come in so many great values, so you just want to be able to maintain it. Mm-hmm. And I say that you have to find your or get all of that ill will, because we all have to look in the mirror someday. We all, no matter how far or how many years we run from it, but it was only when I was real with myself and centered myself that I realized I was able to take on this mission, because I qualified myself. I no longer look for other people to qualify me. And that's when I got my desire, and it just took, and I just went, I got that baton, and I'm like, I'm going to run it down. You know, so I didn't mean to get off subject, but I just wanted to share that to say that you have to qualify yourself first.
Yes.
And then everything else will follow. So thank you, Robin.
Absolutely. And
yeah,
thank
Robin,
you, lady.
Robin.
Yes, ma'am?
Yeah, Robin.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a lot of callers that are waiting in queue, and we just want to let people know that if you'd like to join the show, or if you have a question before we start wrapping up, just press number 1 on your keypad on your phone. And that will notify us that you'd like to ask a question or make a comment. But this show has been awesome, Robin. And at different points, I felt like answering some of the questions myself, but then I forgot that we have guests on the show, and it's about them. It's not about me. But I think that as our callers and our listeners are listening now and in the future, you will definitely resonate with 1, 2, 3, or 4 or all of the guests that's on the show today, because principles and philosophy you must have in order to have any kind of success. And one of the things, Robin, that the book shares with us in the very beginning in desire is that the real start of any achievement starts with an idea. When I listen to the guest, Thomasina, yourself, and Angelique talk about what obstacles, what challenges, but also what was your desire to bring you to this point? It was an idea. It was an idea that got that desire moving. So we just want to continue, and I'm going to go, you know, turn the show back over to you, Robin, but I just want to just make sure that our guests knew that, and our callers who are listening in, if you have a question or comment, just press number 1 on your keypad, and we can open your line. It will look like a little question mark, and it will and we'll make sure your question is asked. Thank you.
All righty. Well, we're waiting on a go ahead, Thomasina.
Robin, I was just going to say, for people who may have joined us in the middle of the show, we might just want to share with them the name of the book we're referring to and why the book is so powerful.
Would you please do us the honors?
Certainly. So for all of the callers who are listening in who may have joined us in the middle of the show, we're talking about the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And for anyone who does not yet have a copy of the book, and is looking to go purchase one, we would urge you to purchase the version that says original version restored and revised, now fully annotated and indexed. And the reason we encourage you to purchase that version is because it's not only the newest one that has some extra material that some of the earlier ones don't, but our very own Ann McNeil, who is the master builder of Masterminds, is quoted in the book in the beginning as one of the people endorsing the power of actually not only reading the book, but then, as she says, doing the work to really manifest your idea and to think and grow rich. There's also, Robin, I wanted to share that you shared with me last week, there are a workbook that people can download for free from the internet as an additional way of studying the Think and Grow Rich principles. And people can find that at www.instantchange.com. Instantchange.com, and just type in Think and Grow Rich Workbook, which is an additional piece of material, something else that you can use to begin working on your consciousness, working in your mind, and thinking about how you can apply these principles to your own lives.
Perfect.
That was it,
perfect.
Robin.
Thank you so
Robin,
much.
Yeah, along that line, I just want to also mention, if you can share about the annual meeting in January. We want to do that every time we're on the show, because we also want to promote our coming together in terms of masterminds together as a group. So on January the 6th, 2019, we will be at the Embassy Suites in Boca Raton on Yamato Road again. And I don't know if you want to start wrapping up the show. And maybe our guests who are on, who was at that event, can share a little about their first-time experience as a part of the Think and Grow Rich International Mastermind annual meeting.
I'd be happy to do that, Anne, since it was my first meeting.
Go right ahead.
Robin, did you want to share something else? Okay. Before before people drop off. And can you just share the website where people can get information about the January 6, 2019 meeting?
Yes. The details are on Eventbrite. We've not put the link on the website yet, but if you go to Eventbrite and just search Think and Grow Rich Annual Meeting, it's in Boca Raton on 2019, January the 6th. All of the details are there. And we can put the link on this show also. Yeah, we'll add the link to this show. Thank you.
So quickly, to share my story, at the beginning of the year, I attended for the first time the annual Think and Grow Rich meeting because I knew that I wanted to make a change. I wanted to do something differently. And as the book teaches, what you need to do is to surround yourself with like-minded people. I was in the process of preparing myself for a journey to make a change in terms of my work, and I wanted to surround myself with people who were about the business, people who had a track record in making a difference in their own lives and their businesses, and people who were focused in a very systematic way. The other thing I love about the book is the focus on systems and principles. And I didn't need to reinvent the wheel or stumble on my own. I knew that if I just connected with Anne and the folks who were part of the Think and Grow Rich annual meeting, that would put me on a trajectory, put me on a course that could do nothing but reinforce and magnify what it was that I had on my heart to do on my own. And that's how I attended that first meeting, and I'm so thankful that I did. That then led to me going to the Midwinter Conference for the National Speakers Association, something I would never probably have done otherwise. That led to me being a part of a mastermind group of the Black NSA, the Black National Speakers Association, that led to then Ann inviting me to the Friday morning mastermind accountability calls that are done, which is such an important thing for keeping on track. I actually, the first one I missed was yesterday, and that was because I was on a work call. But that is very helpful, again, in just in terms of having that regular check-in where I have to report back to others. So I need to make sure that I have actually done something during the week. And also listening to others and the success that they have had is very encouraging. It's just tremendous motivation. And then having the opportunity to now share on the show, the blog talk show, for two Saturdays in a row are all things that are very tangible that came out of me simply making the decision to attend that first meeting. And I can't tell you the kinds of energy and opportunities that have happened in between all of those events that I just mentioned. So anyone out there who's thinking about coming to the January 6, 2019 meeting, I would definitely encourage you to do so. It will be worth your time and your money. And think of it as an investment in yourself. If you don't live in the South Florida area, make it your business to be there, because I don't live in South Florida anymore either, but I got there. And you have plenty of time to be preparing and planning to make it happen. That's my testimony for the annual meeting.
Yes, I want to chime in, because first and foremost, it happens in January, the month that most people are starting their New Year's resolutions. And so going down this past January was my first time. I didn't really know what to expect, but what I received was a new leash on life, because there's an assessment that we were instructed to complete before we even start, you know, making our goals. And when I started looking at the 10 areas of my life, I'm like, financial. And I mentioned that because that was where I needed the most improvement. I mean, it was asking questions like your 401k, do you have long-term savings, do you have homeowners insurance? It was just, you know, asking or breaking down the different 10 areas of life. And for me, this experience has had me leading a more balanced life, because now I'm concerned about my spiritual welfare, and also by the spiritual portion of my life was enhanced when I had to, yes, state that burning desire and then incorporate a little bit of faith to believe in something that I haven't seen. That had brought me closer to my Heavenly Father. Now I have a relationship with Him and my family. I know that I work a lot. I even bring my work home. I'm up 3 o'clock in the morning. And I had to understand that I need to be balanced. I need to leave work at work, and at home I need to spend time with the family. Because working like I did, I didn't eat right, so therefore my health was in jeopardy. I had no time to spend with my daughter, so, you know, there was no family time. So, again, for me, experienced this retreat, it has really helped me get my life in order and to focus on the things that really, really, truly matter. So I would like to recommend everybody, anybody, despite your industry, despite your background, attend this event, because now we're going to, like you were saying earlier, we have to do some soul searching. We have to really take an assessment of our life in order to make that that infallible plan in order to achieve the success that I'm looking for. So anybody, January the 6th is a great way to start your year. And we have 9 minutes to the closing of the show. We've been on this call almost an hour. I'm just so, so excited. And before closing, go right ahead, Thomasina.
I apologize, Robin. I was going to ask Ann if she could share one of the questions I think people may have. It's a question that I had, is how do I find a mastermind group? the meeting that we're talking about doesn't happen until January. That's 7 months from now. Obviously, people should get a copy of the book. They should begin to study the book themselves and apply the principles. They can call in and listen to this show every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. But what can they do to find a mastermind group or a group of people to help them on this journey? Because none of us do it alone. And I'm wondering whether our master builder... You go right ahead, Madam Master Builder.
Thomasina, what you just asked is the reason the International Mastermind Association was formed, because we first started talking about when I read the book, and I did not know anything about anything. So I took the chapter on the mastermind concept when the book talked about, you know, get pull together a group of like-minded, like-spirited individuals and hold each other accountable. That's all I knew. I'd never heard of a mastermind. I never heard of an association. I never knew anybody else that masterminded. And so I just started giving the book away as gifts to people. And that led to a couple of people coming back saying, you know, I think I'm interested. And I kept asking questions. I said, why don't we meet? Now, the reason I'm giving you the history on how this entire thing started over 40 years ago is because the answer to the question lies inside of each one of us. The International Mastermind Association was formed and created to help people come together in the form of like minds and like spirits and connect with each other. But Napoleon Hill shares with us the best way to start your own mastermind group is you pick one person. The two of you must be in 100% agreement on the third. The three of you must be 100% agreement on the fourth, and so on. I like the number 15-20 because at the end of the day, everybody that says yes, yes, they will, they won't. And a lot of people are not willing to be, I like to use this expression, to get butt naked with themselves and be honest about where they are and what they want and how they're going to get there, and being willing, like we talked on the show, to do the work. Now, once you do that, this organization, which we are putting a light and a fire up underneath the Thinking Grow Rich IMA organization, and the organization then holds the groups accountable. Because after you start meeting, and we do have instructions and directions and a membership and all of that, but what happens over time is that if the groups are not accountable to an association, then where's the motivation? And this is one of the reasons why we started hosting an annual meeting of all the groups and all the individuals all over the world who mastermind, so that everybody has a place to come and share what has happened. I like to call it a tribunal. So just imagine if you had to go before a tribunal and give an account of your last 365 days. So just imagine on January 1st, let's call it January 6th. On January 6th, 2019, you must go before a tribunal at the Embassy Suites in Boca Raton. You must give an account for your last 365 days of every area of your life. The tribunal will then decide whether or not you get an additional 365 days based upon what you've done with the last 365 days. So that is what we are doing. And to answer your question, just wrap it up. Start with people that you may know, like, and trust. Invite them to be a part of your mastermind group. But start with one. That's how you find or create your own mastermind group. And, of course, my number, for those who may be interested and have questions, more questions, my cell number is 786-546-0184, 786-546-0184. And if you have any additional questions or want more information, please don't hesitate to give me a call, and we'll see about hooking you up with starting your own group and or becoming a part of the International Mastermind Group focusing on the book Think and Grow Rich. Thank you, Thomasina and Robin, as we prepare to wrap up.
And also, you can join us every
you all can join us every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 661-554-9219, the International Mastermind Association.
Robin, you may also want to share the Friday call. It is also on Eventbrite. We did post on Eventbrite our 7 a.m. Think and Grow Rich call that we do every Friday morning, hosted by none other than Robin Donaldson as a part of the National Association of Black Women in Construction. Because, again, going back to your question, Thomasina, you really want to vet people before you invite them in too close, especially if they're strangers. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. And that telephone number is area code 305-341-2788. And it has been a wonderful show today. And in closing, I would like to say that no individual may have great power without availing himself to the mastermind.
The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, "Education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money," end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Introducing Outback and Carrabba's Express, now open in Miami Gardens, around the corner from Publix at Ives Dairy Crossing. Two great restaurants under one roof. Try the best of both menus, including favorites such as Outback's Bloomin' Onion or Carrabba's Chicken Brian. Call 305-521-0295 today to place an order for lunch or dinner, or even beer and wine. Available for pickup, delivery, or catering. Introducing Outback and Carrabba's Express, now open in Miami Gardens, around the corner from Publix at Ives Dairy Crossing. Two great restaurants under one roof. Try the best of both menus, including favorites such as Outback's Bloomin' Onion or Carrabba's Chicken Brian. Call 305-521-0295 today to place an order for lunch or dinner, or even beer and wine. Available for pickup, delivery, or catering.